Father, we thank you that you have given us life to this point in time. We thank you for your word and that it holds the promises that you do go before us. When we seek you, we know that you are there. God, would you speak to us through your word this morning? Give us understanding and help us to put the things we learn into practice. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As times in life have never been so uncertain as they are today, it has never been so important to be fully committed to the Lord as it is right now. To do this, fortunately, we have access to the book that holds the answers. We learn from the life experiences of others, and we are to put that knowledge into practice in our own lives. Today, we'll be looking at the Old Testament to see how one man prevailed. Asa's life is recorded in both 1 Kings 15 and 2 Chronicles 14 through 16. In 1 Kings 15:11, we read, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. Verse 14 reveals a little bit more about him. It says, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. To get a better look at Asa's life, we need to read 2 Chronicles chapters 14 through 16 to discover what Asa did in his life that showed his heart was committed to the Lord, and when it was not. We read in 2 Chronicles 14, 1 through 5, Abijah rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. Asa, his son, succeeded him as king. And in his days, the country was at peace for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. He chose to lead the people to do what was right before God. The people of the day had turned their hearts toward other things that were not focused on the one true God. They were worshiping like pagan unbelievers. We need to understand anything that takes our heart off of God or has more control over our lives than God is idolatry. It is a good practice to do a self-check to see if there's some things we need to remove from our lives so that God is given first place. There is a benefit. In 2 Chronicles 14, 6 through 8, we see that God had given the southern kingdom peace from their enemies. Asa used the time of peace God gave him to build stronger cities in preparation for the day that enemies would come against them. If you're a believer, more than likely you won't have a physical army attack you. Know this, though. Followers of Christ have an enemy. Our enemy is God's enemy. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 reminds us, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. The only way to stand against enemy attacks is by strengthening your faith every day. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 gives this instruction. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. My friend, when God gives us times of peace, we are to continue to stay focused on Him and not to neglect daily prayer, reading God's Word, and hiding it in our heart. How does prayer, God's Word, and memorization of Scripture help us to be ready for battle, to prevail when life throws difficulties our way? Take a lesson from this guy. King Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord. As a result, he spent the time while at peace, gaining and storing the wisdom that God gave him so that when difficulty came, he could stand ready and equipped to prevail. He held all the cards. 2 Chronicles verses 8 and 9 tell of what he was up against. Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah, equipped with large shields and with spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, armed with small shields and with bows. All these were brave fighting men. Zerah, the Cushite, marched out against them with an army of thousands upon thousands and 300 chariots and came as far as Marishah. Asa went out to meet him, and they took up their battle positions in the valley of Zephthah near Marishah. But by the world standard, clearly, the deck is stacked against Asa. I mean, when you do the math, Zerah, the leader of the Ethiopians, came to attack King Asa and the kingdom of Judah with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. How many fighting men did Asa have? 580,000. That's just over half as many as Zerah. As the two armies took their positions to fight, we get a peek at the card Asa holds. Asa seeks the Lord. Listen to his prayer in verse 11. Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. God allows us to see an example from Asa's life that shows how he was fully committed to the Lord. Asa prayed for God's help when he faced the Ethiopian army. He understood that he was powerless against this enemy, but he knew God was his shield and only defense. Most likely, because he had God's word in his heart. We have the same opportunity. Do you own Psalm 7, verse 10? Where it says, my shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. Or Psalm 119, verses 114 through 117, which says, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me, my God, according to your promises, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. How about Proverbs 2, 7 through 10? He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Asa called on the mighty name of God to deliver him from his enemies, and we're to do the same. When will we come to understand that God hears the prayers of his children? He gives victory to those who fully rely on him. Verses 12 through 14 tell how God defeated the Ethiopian army and Asa's soldiers received great plunder. If you want to prevail in this life, have a heart that is fully committed to the Lord and seek God first in all you do. How can we do this? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Look, understand this. He will direct those who choose to follow him in the way they should go. And when we do, we can overcome any difficulty we may face. Going into chapter 15 in 2 Chronicles, we see how God equips those who may begin to falter in their walk. Verses 1 through 7 say, Azariah, led by the Spirit of God, went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the land were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong, do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Azariah's message from God instructs Asa to continue to seek the Lord and gives him encouragement that he would be rewarded for his work. When you're following Jesus and seeking his help to please him with your life in all that you do, God will reward you. In verses 8 and 16, we see Asa getting to work, cleansing his kingdom of its evil. We read, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. And in verse 16, King Asa also deposed his grandmother, Micah, from her position as queen mother, because she had made a repulsive image for the worship of Asherah. Asa cut it down, he broke it up, he burned it in the Kidron Valley. And as you read on, he also gathers the people to do a self-check, to make a wholehearted oath to the Lord, then offer a sacrifice from their plunder and make a covenant, that is, a promise to seek the Lord with all their heart and soul. Is there anything you need to remove from your life that is keeping you from having a heart fully committed to the Lord? Recognize, ever since sin entered the world, people struggle with their sinful nature. No one is exempt. Paul explains in Romans 7, 14 through 20, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. When we choose to follow Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside our hearts and enables us to say no to sin and yes to obedience to God. The truth is, it's a battle. In chapters 14 and 15 of 2 Chronicles, we have seen King Asa seeking God and putting him first in his life choices. He experienced victory and has been blessed by God. In chapter 16, we see how Asa's sin nature had more control over him than his trust in God's power. Instead of remembering God's victory over the Ethiopians, Asa faced the difficulty with the king of Israel differently. He chose not to pray to God for help. He used his own wisdom and bribed Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, to help him. And he did. But God was not pleased that Asa had put his trust in man instead of the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5 speaks to this, saying, "This is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in the man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Unlike the message of encouragement Azariah brought in chapter 15, listen to the message of God in 2 Chronicles 16:7 through 9 brought through Hanani. "Because you relied on the king of Aram and not the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on we'll be at war." God loves his children and corrects us when we sin. Our response to God's correction is to repent and turn toward the direction that God would have us to go. Take a lesson from 2 Timothy 3:16. Understand this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What changes do you need to make in your life so that you are in God's Word daily? Know this. By staying in God's Word, you will be able to check the direction of your life against what God's plan for your life is to look like. Asa received correction from the Lord and had a choice to repent and return to God's blessing on his life. How did he choose to respond? Verse 10 tells us, "Asa was angry with Assyria because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people." How do you to respond to correction? Do you treat others harshly or respond in anger? God's ways are the best ways, and he lovingly teaches us how to live our lives to please him. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." Instead of getting angry when you're corrected, humbly accept it and trust that it will keep you from a world of calamity and help you to become all God created you to be. Learn from the mess Asa stepped into in chapter 16. Verses 11 and 12 tell of how he gets a disease that affects his feet. And again, he puts his trust in man. He seeks the help of a physician instead of seeking God first. Please, don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to go to a doctor. God uses doctors to help heal our sickness. The point here is Asa's actions displeased God because he neglects to ask God for help. God allows us to see Asa's sin to help us as we walk with him. What we learn from this account is that we can experience victory and success in our lives as Asa did in his life when he looked to God for help as a first response. When we sin and God corrects us, we can experience forgiveness when we repent. Repentance brings blessing instead of curses on our lives. How will you choose to live your life from this day forward? Will you choose to look to God and experience His help? Or choose your own ways and experience difficulty? The choice is completely up to you. Choose wisely. Father, I thank you that you have given us your word and that we can seek counsel from it, that you have placed people on this planet to help encourage us to go forward in our daily walk with you. Father, I pray that we would seek to do your will and that we would be all that you created us to be, that we would be pleasing to you as we go about our lives, that we would reflect you well in all we do, say, and think. Father, help us to walk in the strength of your Son's matchless power. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.